Everyone says the new system works well.
Yeah. Okay, today is Sunday, the 26th of February, 2012. And I want to say hello, first of all, to the students in front of me and to the many, many students who are listening across the world. I just want to begin by commenting on current events. I have to tell you that some of you are living in a bubble and don't know what's going on in the state of Israel, but for those of you that do know, the state will never be the same again. 43 years we lived a certain way, and in 43 years from now, it's going to be totally different, but it's a gradual process. But I do want to say that with the Supreme Court's decision annulling the Chok Tal, Historia, Bagatz Pasal Chok Tal, and with the Supreme Court's decision, a lot has been stated how to revise the situation, how to revise the law, how to deal with the question, and I've heard a lot of proposals made. And I want to say something from the bottom of my heart. I'm going to sound like a shoteh or a katan. But nevertheless, sometimes they do have nevuah, as the Gemara in Baba Basra states. And one of the proposals is that in every profession, you have geniuses. And for instance, people who are musicians, a certain percentage don't have to serve in the army. People who, are computer geniuses, a certain percentage, let them continue their studies. In the yeshiva, the iluyim, this is the word that is in every newspaper in Israel. I want to tell you, as somebody who loves Torah, dafka, the iluyim, have to serve in the army. Because there are future rabbanim, there are future dayanim, there are future gedolei Yisrael, and without serving in the army, you cannot be a leader of the people. The army is the entry system into the heartbeat of the state of Israel. And those of you who think that 2-3 years in the army will take you away from learning, then it shows you're not a giant of Torah to begin with. All I can tell you is, I know products of Hesdi Yeshiva who have written the most finest svarim that have been published in the state of Israel with lumdus in depth. Don't have to mention names, but Yitzchak Shilat, Chaim Sabato, etc., etc. And look at their svarim. So it's extremely important. But let me say it with Dashanut, and let me quote to you, Min Hashamayim Zachiti, that it's this week's Pasha. What happens with the golden calf? HaKadosh Baruch Hu turns to Moshe Rabbeinu, Leich reid ki shichet amcha. And all the Dashanim say, Leich reid, Moshe was with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He separated himself from the Jewish people. He separated himself from the reality of life of the 2,600,000 men, 2 million approximately Jews in the desert. When the leader separates himself, Shichet amcha, leich reid, join the people. And that's exactly, to be a gong, to be a dayan, anyone who proposes exempt the iluyim is someone who does not have the heartbeat of Torah, the concern of Torah, the love of Torah, does not comprehend what generations of Jews and devotion are about. That's one part of it. The second part is not so happy. Hashem Yerachem Aleinu, if you'll introduce to the yeshiva world, 2% are exempt, iluyim. The kina, the sinna, the maisa bereshit. And I have a secret to tell you. Not always is an iluy a gadol hadar. They say on the Bitzko Chan Inspector, he didn't have the greatest head of his generation. But he was the greatest matmid, and had the greatest amount of the fifth Shulchan Aruch in him, common sense, and that's why he became Rav Tzchochanan. They say about the Nitziv, and it's well known, it's been written up, and there's memoir literature, that the family treated him second best. Who is this young Berlin kid? He happened to be a tall person. Who is this tall teenager to enter the august family of Rav Chaim Volozhin? And the Netziv went on to become the most famous Rosh Yeshiva we have ever had in modern times. And I tell you one story that I've told you many times. You know my lifestyle, so you know I live this way. And it's a classic story I heard many times over from the greater Soloveitchik family, that the Netziv, there was a difficult Rambam. He was talking with his grandson-in-law, Reb Chaim Brisker, Reb Chaim Soloveitchik, and Geret and Lernin. And 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning, the Netziv has an Einfall. I don't know how to say that in English. Forgive me, Yosef Chaim. The Netziv has an Einfall, a Havraka. How would you say that in English? A lightning flash. Better than an insight is a pedestrian word that's cheap. A lightning flash. Beautiful, Rabbi Reuben. And the Netziv has a Havraka. And he runs to Reb Chaim and he knocks on his door at 5 o'clock in the morning. And Reb Chaim is asleep and he gets up and he comes to the door. And the Netziv starts shouting at him, they say you're going to be the Gadol Hador, you're the greatest Ilui. And you're not learning at 5 a.m. in the morning? So you see, not always does the Ilui take the cake. And I say these words praying that some important people are listening and will understand the little bit I've said. Am I right or wrong? 43 years from now, I'll give a shir be'ezrat Hashem and we'll reevaluate the course that Torah has taken in Israel. That's my first point. Yes, Yitzchak, like, what's it?
There is an element. I would call it mitzvah chesed.
Right.
Even if a person is a great person, 4 hours a day, 3 hours a day to visit the hospital, they go into a school to help the children study.
You're talking for people who won't go to the army.
So
to
they
do,
won't go to the army, but they do something for the community.
Community, not. So
But
that's only if the army does not need them. The army comes first. It's a Mokemet Mitzvah. It's an open Mishnah in Masechet Sota. I don't want to go any further because if I start quoting to you what has been said by Litvisher Rosh Yeshiva in the last few days, it is beyond Torah comprehension how so-called Talmidei Chachamim can speak this way. Leave it stand at this. The army comes first, pikuach nefesh. Without an army, we're not sitting here. Plain and simple. Okay. Milchemet mitzvah she'en kedug matah. The second thing I want to say, I'm now issuing a cheirim, das teira, all that goes with it. This book has appeared in America by this Deborah Feldman, if I have the name correctly. God have mercy on us, what's written in that book. I understand it has the biggest publisher and it's already sold. They tell me 100,000 copies are in print. And I already heard that some of the wives in the Kollel want to purchase the book. I, Aaron Rakefet Dash Rothkoff, hereby declare that no one can purchase that book until they have bought 10 copies of Washington Avenue. A Rebbe publishes a book, 10 years of writing, gives up all his collegiate teaching to devote himself. A book filled with so much positivism on Yiddishkeit and Torah and outlook and Israel and all that's dear and near to us. Ribbono shel Olam, I just got a royalty statement if I'm left with $200. Could you imagine? And your book. So then you'll say, Rebbe, fine, we'll buy your book. Why do we have to buy 10 copies? One is for you. 9 to give out. L'karev otam l'torat Hashem t'mina. Das Teira, signed with my own signature. Don't go to a graphologist now like they had to do with Rav Yashev and find that it's not a real signature. Okay, let's get on. Today's shir is heavyweight. Gentlemen, we're not going to solve all the problems, but at least Rakefet got paid for coming to shir today. He just let off a little steam. You follow me, Yaakov? That's my compensation. Now, We were talking last week, we finished out that when someone has the Paskin, he has to go to, first of all, the Mefarshim, Chapter No Shas, the Poskim, the Shelet and Shufat. And in modern times, we have a new development, what I call the Mesadrim, or you can call it what you wish. It's going to be given a name 100, 200 years from now. History moves slowly. But there's no question that our generation, we start learning late in life. So many of you are Balei Tshuva, so many in the Kollel are Balei Tshuva, so many of you didn't open up a Gemara until you were 15, 16. And we start learning late in life. By the way, in my book on Revel, in the volume on Revel, you'll see an interesting editorial I quote from the Yiddish Tageblatt, where it talks about Jewish Theological Seminary, which was an Orthodox institution at the time. And the editorial says, these are rabbis, they learn 20 daf a year of Masechet Tainit, of Masechet Megillah. You understand, the easiest Masechet. You follow me, Daniel? In Europe, we learned 100 blad a year of the difficult Masechet. These are rabbis. And yes, we start late, but our hearts are pure, our hearts are good. But we need the sources. And I explained to you, this is what's happened, that we have the encyclopedias today, the Talmudica, the Yod Sera Poskim, and the Bar-Ilan, the Shelet and Shuvat, CD, if I'm using the right word. And there's no end to what we can gain today at our fingertips. It has a good side and a downside. The upside is, of course, that even people like us, we can get the sources. The downside is that every apikoros, every oisvaf, every trumpenik, every pushtat can go and get the sources and do what they want with it. And the classic example I gave you was Yossi Sarid, just a few weeks ago, published that horrible article on women in the eyes of the rabbis, taking every maimah chazar that puts a woman down. And this is tragic, and it's not right, it's not fair, it's a disgrace. If Yossi Sarid is an intelligent person, he has disgraced his IQ, because chazal represent people. And in chazal, you're going to find pro-women and anti-women and pro-man and anti-man, and every human being is like that. We give evaluations. This is part of life, fortunately or unfortunately. And it's this is the downside, that every Tom, Dick, and Harry can suddenly be a great authority. Okay. Then, at the end of this year, we started rolling into a new area, which is going to occupy our minds for a number of weeks to come. And this is a most fascinating question. Which is more important, a book of psakim, like the Mishnah Brura, like the Shulchan Aruch, like the Mishnah Torah of the Rambam, or Shelet and Shuvat, responsa literature, where a rabbi, a rav, a Talmud Chacham, a Gadol Hadar, is asked questions, halacha l'maisa, what do we do? What do we paskin? Which is more important? And at times we'll see there may be a contradiction between the psak to the tshuva, which carries more weight. Now, there's a big difference between writing a volume of psakim compared to writing a volume of shelot and shuvat. And that was the last point we made last week. When you write a volume of psakim, it reads A, B, C, D, E. Okay. Mishnah Brura gave a bit of an explanation. The Rambam gave no explanation. The Shulchan Aruch gave no explanation, but you can make the claim that in the Beit Joseph, he explains it, although we'll deal with this later on, not today, that at times there's contradiction. When you write a Shela of Tshuva, the whole world has to be explained. You can't just give a psak. You have to deal with the problem, you have to explain the problem, you have to hunt for the sources. You have to see the way the Rishonim treat the sources. you have to derive a concept. Which way are we going? But it's not only that. If you have an easy question, that's not going to shake the world. But at times, terrible, horrendous questions come up that are earth-shaking. And let me cite to you from Washington. Three boys went to battle in 1982, the first Lebanese war. Tzvika Feldman, Yehuda Katz, and Zechariah Baumol. Two of them were Hezda boys. Yehuda Katz at Tzadik Yisrael Olam was from KBY. Zechariah Baumol was from the Gush. He was born and raised in America, came in Aliyah, I believe, during his high school years. And Tzvika Feldman was in the regular army. He was not Hezda. And these boys never came back. No, I don't have to tell you it's 30 years since the battle, very shortly. And there's no definitive statement what happened to them. So someone I know who teaches in Gris Kolel and teaches responsive literature or an appreciation of Psak came up with an idea that we should treat these boys as if they were married. And they left widows, or are they widows? Agunat. And what were we doing paskin? The idea behind it, of course, was to have all the relevant information made available, all the modian, how would you say that in English? Intelligence both of the Mossad, intelligence of the army, and open up the safe. I want to tell you this idea was not accepted right away. It had to wait for a new prime minister, it had to wait for a new minister of defense, chief of staff. There are reasons why I don't want to go into now. And finally, the idea was accepted. And what began in Gris Kolel, in my class, became a major innovation attempt to solve the problem in the army. Books have been written about it now, not only my own, but Rabbi Yisrael Weiss deals with it in detail in his memoir. Now, you just think for a minute. Look what we have to do. We have to decide if the widows or agunat of Baumol, Feldman, and Katz, can they remarry? Can't they remarry? If we paskin they can remarry, then it means that we can also paskin the boys are dead. If we're koshish that the boys are still alive, then they can't remarry. Now, mind you, you're not dealing here with Yantiv Sheni. I always state to you, the biggest problem during the year is Yantiv Sheni. Someone from Torah Shraga told me, did you tell me earlier that it came up with Reb Heschel Shachter? Someone asked him, I didn't hear it, but the gist what was told to me was someone asked Reb Heschel, how can you differ with your Rebbe? Your Rebbe paskins basically one day in Israel, a day and a half l'chumra, and you paskin 2 days. And Reb Heschel answered, which we spoke about in great length in the Al-Kajil Seif, that a Talmud has a right ultimately to differ even with his Rebbe Mufak. And we'll come back to that many, many months from now. But this is a question not of Yantiv Sheni. Yantiv Sheni, you can't be right and you can't be wrong. So din de rabbanan, and you can't win when you psak, because there's no way lahachmiya. If you observe 2 full days, you're saying brachot levatala. You're making kiddush while Rakefet and Reuben are driving their cars. It's brachot levatala. If you say to observe 1 day, so of course, if it has to deal with the community you belong to, you should be observing 2 days, not 1 day. You come from Teaneck. You come from Baltimore. You come from Detroit. You don't come from Yerushalayim. All right. But Yantiv Sheni is not earth-shaking. When you come to Aguna, you're dealing with Eshet Ish. If chas v'chalila she remarries incorrectly, her children are mamzerim. You're dealing here with eshet ish, you're dealing here with niyaf, you're dealing with adultery. You're dealing here with one of the most difficult problems that you can ever face. And these questions, this type of response to literature, this is very difficult. It's nerve-wracking. You have to really know your stuff. You have to develop ideas, and you have to be Yerushalmayim. You all know that there have been many professors in universities across the world who knew Shas and could help yeshiva boys. They talk about in Baltimore, Professor Albright, that young rabbis from near Yisrael used to go to him for Pshat and Gemara. But he could, Paskin, you wouldn't go to him because he's not Reb Moshe Feinstein. He's not Jewish. He's an Oid Yisrael. Don't misunderstand me. But the responsibility, the Yirat Shemayim, what it means, Mamzeret, okay? Very difficult questions. Then there are other problems that come along. Life is constantly changing. Technological problems. The automatic elevator. Who heard of an automatic elevator when we were growing up? How could a Jew live on the 50th floor, the 60th floor? Today, they're building tremendous apartment buildings in Williamsburg, in Israel, and they put in an automatic elevator. Well, an automatic elevator going up, it uses a lot of energy. The more people in it, the more the motor has to work. Going down, if you have too many people, it drops out of the power of the people standing in it. It's using less. It's regenerating electricity going back to the source. There are endless questions. By the way, I want to tell you that the automatic elevators at Shaarei Tzedek and at the Plaza Hotel, from what I am told, they do not have this problem. Hundreds of thousands of dollars were invested in Germany in researching and working with the Israeli technicians, and they came up with elevators that are not affected by weight. That's what I'm told. But generally speaking, an automatic elevator is affected by weight. So, can you paskin? Who can paskin? You understand what you have to understand? Technology, you have to understand science, you have to understand physics. This is not a shaila that you can just go into a rav who knows shas and paskin. And I don't have to tell you, there's a whole, we've already spoken about turning on lights on Yom Tov. It's a whole slew of questions. What about the people who are incapacitated, lo aleinu, and they buy these wagons, these little carts, I would call them, from Tzomet, and you have a sign on it that it's on a Shabbos mode, and it works with a grummer switch. You turn the switch, nothing happens, a half minute later it starts, whatever, everything is grummer. You press down, it takes a few seconds. Who can use this Shabbos? These are unbelievable questions. And you can't just give a psak. This requires an analysis. Books and books and books have been written on these problems. Now, here we come to a very interesting principle in halacha. And I'm going to devote the rest of this year to this principle. You see, generally speaking, you're used to a classroom situation. I had the privilege of sitting in the same classroom. I sat right here. The pictures in my office do not lie, I hope. The Rebbe sat here. And we sat with the Rebbe. We threw questions at him. The Rebbe answered. You go to Reb Moshe Feinstein. I used to call Reb Moshe. My Ikrot Moshe is marked up with things he told me over the telephone. Many sometimes in person, I saw Reb Moshe, and they answer. When you get to a very difficult question, if you're a Yirei Shemayim, no great posek in the world will carry the responsibility by himself. This is overwhelming. Join with me. And this is the Gemara in Sanhedrin. Daf Zion Amid Bet. And the Gemara uses the expression Ki Heche Delimtaya Shiba Mekishura. What it means is, help me carry a chip from the beam. Everyone has to share. A Talmud Chacham, a difficult question, you don't want to do it alone. You want to consult. You want someone else's input. You want someone else's opinion. Many times, you'll see in responsa literature where a meshiv will send on what he wrote to a person he considers greater than himself, more learned than himself, more experienced than himself, and you'll see in the answer, Sheilat Chacham Chatzi Tshuva. Have you ever seen that? You see it all the time. Your very question is half the answer. The sources you're bringing. Or you'll see Meshivim write, Lo Ledidi Hu Tzarech. You don't need me. You know the sources. You're right. And of course, what the Meshiv is looking for when he wrote to someone he considered greater, he's looking for Haskama, agreement. And throughout responsa literature, you will see this concept of agreement. Now, let me give you some live examples. Let me begin with one of the most tragic questions that has ever been asked. And I have to tell you, we don't know the outcome, what actually happened. I asked the Reb Heschel this morning if he knows the outcome. He remembered the Heichal Yitzchak, but no, he doesn't know. I told him, if you ever hear the outcome, let me know. And let me begin at the beginning. I'm quoting to you, I'm quoting from a sefer that it's very easily available. We have it downstairs. I'm quoting from the Sridei Eish, Rabbi Yechiel Yaakov Weinberg, Chelik Aleph, Siman Tzadei. No, Yosef Chaim, what do you have to ask me right away? Which edition? With the Sridei Eish, there's a terrible problem that my friend Rabbi Avraham Abba engendered. The original Sridei Eish was put out by Mossad Rav Kook in 4 volumes. Rabbi Avraham Abba Weingott, Talmud Mufak of the Sridei Eish post-World War II, lives exactly between where Rabbi Reuben lives and yours truly lives, Rehov Chernichovsky. He has devoted his life to putting out his Rebbe's Svarim in a more beautiful, updated version. Completely changed the order of the Tshuvat. There is a chart in his edition, which tells you where to find the original. I am quoting Siman Tzadei from the Avraham Abba Weingott edition, not the Mossad Rav Kook. Okay? Volume 1, Siman Tzadei. Now, this edition includes Rav Herzog's correspondence. So I'm not quoting it to you from Heichal Yitzchak, Evanessa, because that sefer is harder for you to get than the Sridei Eish. Now, you know what's amazing? There's a whole introduction here by the Sridei Eish where he speaks about the modesty of Rav Yitzchak Isaac Halevi Herzog, that this giant who knows it all, Be'anvatanuto hagedolah ubemidat tovu verachmanuto ube'eino hayafel lechol yedidot umukurav v'shateifimo b'diyun hasheelot hachamurot shalul lifanav et kol mi sheyesh lo yad v'shem b'hora'ah. במקום שראינו את גדלותו הנקית, שמצאנו אנוונתו היתרה. And that's a beautiful introduction where he talks about the greatness of Rav Herzog, not only in learning, but as a human being, and how he takes in his friends with difficult sheilat and wants to hear their opinion, and like, who am I to tell Rav Herzog? But since he asked me his opinion. Now, the question is from 1957, and the question is as follows, and it's brutal. When Milchemet HaShichrur broke out, Jews, of course, in the Arab countries were tortured, and they had to get out. Some Arab countries you could get out, other Arab countries you were stuck. Here we have four women from Yemen who could not get out, whose husbands converted to Islam. And the women refused to convert. And ultimately, the women were able to run away from Aden, and from Aden, somehow, they got to Eretz Yisrael, to Petah Tikva. Four young women. Umeyaz sakach yotenu ola adla shamayim sheligun. And from the time they arrived in Petah Tikva, our dear sisters cry out to the heavens that they are agunot. V'ein etza, v'ein chachma l'kabel get, or even a hasha'a from their husbands. Good luck and all best regards to Novotic. Don't forget. Now, Rav Herzog writes that he did whatever he could. Where does Rav Herzog come from? Where did he get his doctorate? He was born in France, but he studied in England, right or wrong, in London. He was chief rabbi of Ireland, part of the British Empire. He had contacts in His Majesty's government at the time. He writes, I did whatever I could in London, in Britain, and I couldn't accomplish anything. And Nebuch, these poor women, the husbands are laughing. They married Muslim women. They couldn't care less about their former Jewish wives. If anything, they would love to torture them. It makes them better Muslims. And they won't even give a hashar. You know what a hashar is? That you don't have to give a get. You just give an authorization that the Beit Din should write a get. Now, I need not tell you, this is a question, the heart of Torah. Eshetish. Eshetish. Okay. So Rav Herzog deals with whatever he can think of. Can we possibly help these poor women? I need not tell you that there's a whole basic issue in the Gaonim. Later it carries through with Rashi and Tosfot. If can a mumah create marriage? In other words, this is a Gemara, by the way, in Yevamot, Daf Yud Zayin. A mumma. A guy, you're in the King David Hotel. And there's, I don't know what you consider, a beautiful, fine, upright girl from Yerushalayim is wandering around the lobby. And some guy is visiting from the sake of argument, let's say, America, totally assimilated Jew, doesn't believe in anything, goes to Unitarian church on Sunday, and he starts talking with this girl, and he gives her some wonderful American chocolate, and says, Harayat, you should be married to me with the chocolate, and they're witnesses. No, is she married or not married? Can a mumma create marriage? And this is a very interesting question. Is a mumma Jewish or isn't he? On one hand, you have the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Mem Dalet, no, quote the Gemara to me, Yisrael afal pi shechata, Yisrael, a Jew can be the biggest sinner in the world, but a Jew remains a Jew. Or no, there's the Gemara in Yevamot that it reaches a point that Lo Zazu Misham, the 10 tribes were so assimilated that the rabbis declared them Goyim. They no longer count as Jews. I need not tell you, this is the first published article of Rabbi Aaron Lichtenstein, Brother Daniel. It appeared in Judaism, I believe in 63, if I'm not mistaken. This is the heart of the issue. Is Brother Daniel Jewish or isn't he? Guy comes in Aliyah, gets off the boat from Poland. Everyone is Jewish. Suddenly this guy is coming off the boat, dressed in the habitat of a brother of a Catholic Church, what would be the word, clergy or some sort of clergy, and wearing a crucifix. And he goes over to the Jewish agency representative, and the Jewish agency representative takes his name, and etc. And what's your religion? And he says, Jewish. And the Jewish agency representative is looking at this guy in brown garb, what we call it, a me'il. It's not regular clothes. And he's wearing a big crucifix on top of it. Of course, this became a cause célèbre, went all the way to the Supreme Court. And the Supreme Court ruled what it ruled. And the reasons behind their decision have affected the entire religious structure in the state of Israel until today. But that's not important now. What is important, is he Jewish, isn't he Jewish? If we could say he's not Jewish, the women were never married. But in the case before us, there's a terrible problem. Because at the time that they married, these were typical Yemenite Jews. Later on, they threw it away. Look at Moshe Mendelssohn. Moshe Mendelssohn, the great-grandson of the Ramah, of Moshe Isserles, for whom Rimi's named, was a from Jew all his life. Four out of his eight children converted after his death. They waited for the father to die. Once the father was gone, they converted away from Judaism. All right. These people were nusim, let's give them credit. They were tortured, they wanted to get ahead, they wanted to have panasa. How many Jews, Disraeli, gave up their religion in Heinrich Heine? So many examples. They wanted to get ahead in the world. But at the time they were married, they were Jewish men. It's a terrible problem. Of course, he gets involved with some of the thinking that Rabbi Rachman later popularizes with his based in Queens. Had they known that their husbands would mishtamate, would leave Judaism, had they known, they wouldn't have married them. Their marriage was not for this. But that's, again, very, very weak. What do you mean, had they known? If you carry that reasoning, no one is going to have a happy marriage. No one's going to have a marriage that needs a get. Ploni Almoni will say, Plonit Almonit will say, I married my husband. I thought my wife often says, she said she married me, she thought I'd make a living. Nope, I don't have to tell you. Baruch Hashem, more than 50 years of marriage, I've not made a living. So what? She's going to claim? Wife marries a guy, and I don't know, I thought you'd be a world-famous surgeon. All you are is a lawyer who deals with injury and all these lawsuits. You make a fortune of money, but I'm ashamed of you. I got to go tell people you're an ambulance chaser, if you know that expression. Where do you end it if you carry the string? A guy loses his temper, okay? Guy loses his temper. His wife says, I married a man, I thought you were in total control, you had studied Musa, you went to Slabatka with Rakefit, and you know how to control your temper. You lost your temper. I'm an Atkan, I didn't marry you. I mean, where do you draw the line? And Rav Herzog is, you can see, he is crying as he deals with this, because he knows and he writes, Shum posek lo mala batel kedushin, if he was not a muma at the time of kedushin, and he suffers, he struggles with it. Then he goes into a concept that was raised by Rabbi Leo Klatskin. He was a great Rav in Europe, later in Yerushalayim. And he threw out the idea. It's in one more Sfadik Rav throws out the same idea. It has been totally dismissed, but Rav Herzog struggles with the idea. What is the idea? Who has to give a get? A Baal, a man has to give a get. No one can divorce your wife for you. You marry her, you have to divorce her. You're the individual. Right or wrong? Michael, I want to ask you a question. I'm walking along earlier today, let's say, and someone comes up and says, Rebbe, I want to give you $10,000 a gift. And I say, look, Sona Matanet Yechei, I don't accept gifts, but you know, I have a student, Michael Weissman. He's a nice boy, could use the money. I'm going to take it from Michael Weissman. Tell me, have you gained the gift at that moment? Absolutely. Can you tell me why? Zachin liadam shalolafanav. It's a schut, right or wrong. And I can do the schut. I have to tell you, this is halakha l'maisi. You have no idea this comes up. If you're going to be in the rabbinate and you have balabatim who forgot to sell their chametz, you should go through the list there of Pesach and sell their chametz to them. Be their shliach. You're doing this good. It could be it helps. You don't need be the yevid. You don't need a minui shlichot because zakhin liyodim shalom b'fanav. Could be. You follow me? Okay. Ein chavim liyodim. I can't. If someone comes over to me and says, give me $10,000. I don't know. I didn't like the taknit. I didn't like the study schedule at Gris. And you wasted a year for me. And I'll say, no, I won't give it to you, but I have Michael Weissman's checkbook. I'm writing you a check, signing his name. Here's $10,000. Am I allowed to do that? Of course not. I'm doing something that's not positive for you. Negative. I need your permission. Gentlemen, Rav Klevskin came up with the idea that a person who doesn't give a get, it's a tremendous chovah for him. He is doing a terrible thing. It's going to affect him physically, it's going to affect him spiritually, it's going to affect his olam haba. And therefore, we do a schut for him by giving the get. Zochim liyadam shalo b'fanav. And if we had him here and we could explain to him, he would agree to give the get. This is revolutionary. And there's a svar. Did you see the sources are right here in the tshuva? I'll tell you another source in a minute. And the sources are right here in the tshuva. And they get involved b'schut nefesh. They get involved with concepts that very hard for us to understand. And remember here, this guy, these four guys couldn't care less, because you might say, why do they want to get divorced? It's not good for them. This way they have a wife, they can have relations with their wife. It solves the problem of the sex drive. But here these guys remarried Muslimiyot. They remarried Muslim women. They don't need a wife. So it's a schut that a meshumish eschut gadol hi la lehitgaresh mimenu efshas vezachin la gita afilu balkacha. And I've heard some deals with it, but he says it doesn't make sense halachically. Even though these were great rabbanim, and I want to tell you, there's a graduate of Yeshiva College, I believe, the letter went to Chaim Berlin, got smicha there. He went on to come in Aliyah. He was a professor at Rehovot. We ought to ask on tomorrow morning. One of the two people who come from Rehovot was a very world famous scientist, and he was professor at Rehovot. Antelman, does the name mean anything to you? Rabbi, what's his first name? Shlomo. I think he was in Boston during a certain period. He learned with the Rav, and very interesting individual. So he wrote an entire sefer on the whole concept, if a man doesn't want to give a get, we give the get for him. It's a skut. And he formed the Beis Din, and he has a Sanhedrin here, but he's considered off the beaten path. He's a very fine individual, don't misunderstand me. And again, it's L'shem Shemayim, everyone wants to help the Aguna. But we can only help within a halakhic context. Well, Rav Herzog sends on this tshuva, and the same tshuva appeals in Heichal Yitzchak. And we don't know what happened, but he sends it on to Rav Yechiel Yaakov Weinberg. What is your opinion? And Rav Yechiel Yaakov Weinberg writes something like 38 pages filled with sources dealing with this question. I don't know the longitude outside of what Rav Yechiel Yaakov writes about the stunning problem. You know what I mean by the stunning problem? When the Nazis required the stunning of animals before slaughter. And the whole question whether you're allowed to stun an animal or it becomes a treifa and therefore the shchit is no good. And there he wrote a tremendous contrast. I don't know of anything longer outside of the stunning issue than what Rabbi Yechiel Yaakov wrote on this. And I have to tell you, he struggles and he can't find a clear way to accept all the shita that I mentioned to you. It is such a tragic situation. Beginning on page Resh Mem Chet, Tshuva, Lahagon, Maran, Harava Rashi, etc. And he says, I am honored that you asked me to join with you. He says, I apologize for the lateness of my answer, but I was not feeling well and I left the city. I was in a Makom Marker, Michutz Liri. I don't know what that means exactly. It's not a hospital, maybe it's a sanitarium, but a place where you go and maybe the weather is better there. And then when I came back, I was taken ill again. Baruch Hashem, now God has made me better. And I write to you about the Agunat HaTzirat, that you tried to find an opening, a Pitchei Cheta. And he says, I agree with you that we can't depend upon Yesodot Ru'im, on concepts that are not strong, that are not good. And he says, I'll do what I can, and I'll go through all the sources, and he goes, discusses them, and at the end he writes, I want you to know, this is already on page Resh Pei Aleph, V'yod apam ani chozeh mishanein, shekol ma shekatavti uplupalti b'tshuva zu, elino ela katalmid, Hadam lifnei rabotav b'kaka. V'hachra'a mesura l'gedolei ha'hora shebedah. V'lo li'ish kamoni l'hachriya b'inyan chamur zeh. And he goes on and on. He says, I've done the best I can, but it's like a Talmud sitting on the ground before his masters. And who am I to express a final opinion? And even though Rav Eliyahu Kletzkin is not a dat yachid, you also have the Baal Petach HaBayit wrote the same concept, but we know that the Rabbonim have not accepted it. And therefore, I cannot get involved in saying which way to go. He has something very interesting at the end. And you see the difference between a Litvak and someone, a Rav Svadi, influenced by Kabbalah, a Litvak versus a Kabbalist. What did they speak about? Zechut HaNefesh. That for a recalcitrant husband who refuses to give the get, it's a zechut hanefesh. God won't punish him if we're zeich mezakeh him with this get. But Rav Weinberg raises the issue, bechefkeira nichalei. The Gemara says many times that, for instance, Avodim. Unfortunately, today, it applies to the majority of Jews. A Jew, you say to him, you have to be a Shomer Shabbos. Who the heck needs to be bound by those old-fashioned laws? Ask the mayor of Tel Aviv. You say to a Jew, you have to eat kosher. What do you mean I have to eat kosher? I like shrimp, I like oysters. You say to a Jew, Tarat mishpacha. I want to sleep with any woman when I want, how I want. I don't want to repeat what's going on in America. The seminary, the reform, it's frightening. Fabulous tshuva. But that's exactly the point. On a question like this, any posek who's built upon the sources and has Yirat Shamayim, he will never paskin without the help, without the acclamation of others. And that's one classic example. Let me give you a second one.
It has to be stated at this point.
Did it to help the Agunan? No, of course. I've said that 1,000 times.
No way to enter into the camp of the Reformed the Conservative with the objectors, the lion.
No, the problem is that halachically he was not sound, so it was not accepted.
He
didn't go with Zikri Get. He went with the whole concept of that today a woman is independent, and therefore when she marries, she's marrying with the concept that I mentioned, that he's going to be normal, he's going to be decent, he's going to support her, he's going to give a get if he has to. And it's ki'ilu, there's a t'nai in the marriage at the very start, and he dismisses the tablamative tandu. I don't know, that's a whole sugi, it's not a simple matter. But no one ever said Rabbi Rachman, we're all caught up in this, and Rabbi Rifkin came out in favor of Rabbi Rachman, except the based in here, etc. Shocking, frightening, because halakhically it's not the way to go. But we have a terrible problem. The state of Israel, it's a lot better because they didn't have fangs. And you have to acknowledge the Supreme Court Justice, my colleague and friend, Rabbi Joachim Rubinstein, Dr. Rubinstein, you just had a case before the Supreme Court. It repeated itself years ago. A guy from France, and by the way, the Frenchmen are, we used to read about France, Paris, the city of sin, the city of lights. And I don't know, these Frenchmen are big lovers, and I can tell you cases my daughter has had with them, and here was a case where the guy refuses to give a get, and his wife is here in Israel, but he's living in France with another woman. And they caught him here, and the Beis Din insists he give a get, and the guy goes to the Supreme Court, and the justice who hears the case is Sonet Yisrael, hatred of religion, thank God she's retired today. And she says to the guy, he's not a citizen of Israel. The Beis Din can't do anything to him. He's allowed to leave the country. And he went back to France and left at the world. Same case came up 2 weeks ago. And Yochum Rubinstein paskined exactly the opposite. Until he gives a get, he's a Jew. He's being again a woman. And until he gives a get, he remains in jail. He gave a get the next day and went back to France. And I told Rebbe Yochum in Mincha time last Shabbos, I quoted him, he didn't know it. It's a Bacha Chadashot, Kol HaMatir Aguna Achat, Ki Ilu Bana Achat Mechurvot Yerushalayim. And I said, you just built another churva and turned it into a beautiful street in Jerusalem. And Halavai Yerbu Kamoto. My daughter had the same case when in her early days, as I told her, she said she only regrets she couldn't have videoed it. The Eidah Haredit sent her this case. The Eidah Haredit, by the way, cooperate with the Batei Dinim of the Rabbanut. You should know that. In Dinei Yishuv, 100%. So they had this case of this Haredi woman whose husband is a businessman, wealthy, and he, I don't want to be vulgar, but when he travels out of the country, he's provided for. So he had a whole thing going in France and Paris, but he doesn't want to divorce his wife because he then has to make a settlement and give her money. So my daughter got a tzav matzah that the Beis Din issued a tzav to arrest him if he ever shows up. Lo and behold, she gets a call from the wife that he's at this hotel with another woman, a different woman. Now, not the one from Paris, not the one from Meir Shearim, but with another woman in Geula. I even know where the hotel is. And my daughter calls the police. Immediately a squad car comes with two policemen in it, a driver and another policeman. And my daughter's sitting in back, and my daughter relates the conversation, how the guy who's the second policeman says to the driver, Mazza, my yesh, he couldn't understand what they're doing. Tismoch alai, the driver says, ani kva hayiti b'seret hazeh. I already know what this means, a tzav matzah from the Beis Din. They get to the hotel, and they got him in motion. Bring him to the jail, lock him up. And he was a businessman, nicely dressed. And the next morning, disheveled, he gives the get. But he was a gentleman. Because my daughter said, when it was all over, he came over to her and said to her, kol hakavod. You see, deep down, there was something good in the guy. Maybe a nice vaf, maybe a paramour, maybe a, but there was something good. At least he didn't forget that a little Torah remained with them. So you see, but these are terrible problems. And here you see the correspondence, Reb Yitzchak Isaac Halevi Herzog and the three-day Eish. And it all goes back to the concept, when it's a difficult question, you don't carry the responsibility alone. You know, each one who's a Talmud Chacham, you think you know how to learn the world. Take my word for it. We all know how to learn, Baruch Hashem, but we, as much as we know, others know more, or others have insight where we don't, and it has to be in correspondence and consultation. Now, I'll give you another example between the same two individuals with an earth-shaking problem that affects millions and millions of Jews today, particularly in the State of Israel, and in the Baal Tshuva movement. My dear students, every kid who goes to yeshiva knows that isha nikmet b'shlosha derachim b'keset b'shtav v'biyah. You gain a wife, either by money, document, or sexual relations. Every kid knows that. Nope. We have in Israel today over 1 million Russian Jews. We have in Israel today hundreds of thousands of Balei Tshuva from every country in the world, from France, America, Canada, South Africa, Australia, Germany, Poland, you name it. They're here. Okay? Nope, I had this question in this very building in the mid-70s. Kid comes to me, I don't want to mention his name, obviously. And he's all upset. He says, Rebbe, I may be a mamza. I said, well, what's the question? He says, look, I'm a Baal Tshuva. My mother was married before she married my father. She never got a get. I'm from the second marriage. So my Rebbe in the morning said I should speak to you. I said, first of all, don't speak to anyone else. That's the first thing. I don't want to go into halacha now, but we'll do it 1 year and here we'll be a mamzeret, but not now. Don't speak to anyone else. Who is your rabbi in the States? Gives me the name. I say, that's your rabbi? I know him for 100 years. What's that? I call him up. He starts laughing. He says his mother was ashamed to tell him, became a frum kid, that her first husband was a guy. No? Does a guy need a get? Can a guy give a get? Is there kedushin? I told him, you have nothing to worry about, you're absolutely not a mamza. Years later, when he got married, he told the Rebbe the story. So I was in Los Angeles at the time. I get a call in Los Angeles from the Rebbe, Masada Kedushin. I told him, you can absolutely be Masada Kedushin, nothing to worry about. And I told him the first husband was a non-Jew. But hey, wait a minute. What about if the first husband was Jewish and she never got a get? Just think about Russia. How did you get married in Russia? You went before the commissar, whatever they called them. You went before the city judge. You got married. Two Jews got married. 10 years later, they broke up. The woman remarried, came in Aliyah. She never got a get. Now, is she married or isn't she married? And of course, logically speaking, looking at the Mishnah, she had relations with this man, more than 30 days, absolute chazaka, ha'isha niknet b'shlosha d'rachim, b'keser b'shta u'b'biya, underline the word biya, as the Rav would say. She's married, no get, the kid is a mamsa. Now you just think what the implications are. Look at the United States. How many people live together years? Forget about getting married. Forget about getting married. My Search for God at Harvard. Read that book. Describes Lincoln Square, the whole Upper West Side. What was it? Ari Goldman, 1970s, 1980s. Everyone is, don't want to use vulgar words, everyone is, you know, with a different woman. I happen to know the girl who refused to be with him, and he's mad at her in the book. I happen to know her. She was a first cousin to students of mine, and she, when she was in Israel, she sat in some of my classes. Kol hakavod la, that she knew to tell the guy, go fly a kite. No, they're sleeping around. These are kids who are shomer the Shabbos. These are kids who are makpid on kashrut. But their America has assimilated them. What's wrong? Sex, natural. The whole sanctity of sex is gone. The whole beauty of sex is gone. A woman, an object. You eat steak, you have sex. It's the world today. New York Times. Today it's much worse. Today it's no longer male, female. It's male, male, female, female. Everything goes. God have mercy. What can be 50 years from now? I don't want to even say the words. No. They slept together for 2 years on the West Side. The generic West Side. I don't want to say anything against the West Side, but the concept of Ari Goldman's book.
But was it
Lashem Kedushin? One? Yitzhak, relax yourself. The beer is sex. No? What does the mission say? Yisha Miknesh was social because of the Shtar
beer. Doesn't the girl have to have an agreement?
With the fact that she slept with him is acceptance. Gentlemen, this is one of the greatest halakhic problems, if not the most widely written, discussed halakhic problem in the last 200 years. Hundreds of thousands of pages have been written on this problem. And it's a terrible problem. And what Yitzchak is alluding to, what does it mean, sex? Do you have to have a concept of marriage or no? Sex. Just, it's prostitution, call it what you want, but it's not the sanctity of marriage. And yet the Gemara says many times in Chazal, no, help me add, ein adam alseh bilato, bilat snut. And that's a very powerful chazaka. And if that's the case, it means when people have sexual relations, they want it to be sanctified. Human. They're not animals. It's not harlotry. It's not prostitution. Yeah, well, if that's the case, they're married. Now, all right, so you'll make a case on the West Side, look, they didn't get married, it's sex for sex, it's not for marriage. Adam behefke nichale. But what about if they got married? They went to the justice of the peace. They have one apartment. One name on the door. One bank account. One checking account. Ein adam osa bilato bilat snut. Yitzchak, you have to admit this is a lot more difficult. You can't just say sex is sex. It's not two dogs meeting on the street. It's not two cats meeting on the street. They've gone through the effort of legitimizing it, legalizing it, even if they're not sanctifying it. It's an overwhelming question. I need not tell you, with the emigration from Russia, this problem has come up 1,000 times over. With the Aliyah from America, you find this question time and time again. It gets more involved. Kid comes to Merkaz Harav, parents are Reformed Jews. My mother was married before with a Reform ceremony, never got a get. And here already there's a Reform rabbi. Here already there's a conservative rabbi. Here already there's a Reconstructionist rabbi. They went through the trouble, not just legalized, not just formalized. Sanctified. Their concepts, all right, they're Reformed Jews, they're conservative Jews, they're Reconstructionist Jews. She remarried, never got a get. Wow. This is a terrible, terrible, painful question. I can tell you in all my experiences, and you all know that I forgot already how many years I'm propagating Torah, 52, 53 years. I mean, as a teacher, from the age of 12, I've tried to change the world. We should all be good Jews. In all the cases I have seen, only one mamza did I teach. That's a terrible story. And by the time I found out the details, and this has been written up without names in the history of the country he comes from, it's an unbelievable case. His mother was married, got divorced. Husband wouldn't give a get. And she went to a Reform rabbi. Now the Reform rabbi said, what do you need a get for? A liberal rabbi in that country it's called. Don't need a get, I'll remarry you. And of course, that man did a terrible sin, because you never know what's going to come out of a woman's loins, womb. And she had this young man who became a big Talmud Chacham, a big Baal Tshuva, went to the finest yeshiva in Yerushalayim, never married, because he didn't want to perpetuate Mamzeret. He's well into his 50s today. It's a tragedy of tragedies. And I asked when I was in that country, I asked, what are the details? Let me see the details. I know a little bit about this topic. They said, Rebbe, the greatest Rabbanim dealt with it. No one could find a way out. Her first marriage was by an Av Beit Din, a Big Talmud Chacham, Edim Ksheirim. No one could find a way out. And this kid, wealthy home, his father, I think it's the original father, bought him a business here, has panasa, people working for him, but never married. Breaks the heart. Halavai, they would have asked me the shaila at the very start, maybe we could have achieved something, I don't know. But this is a terrible question. Now, the question of civil marriage has so divided the great poskim, you have no idea. I don't have to go any further than the Lower East Side of New York, where two Gedolei Hadar resided within a 5-minute walk of each other. Moreinu v'Rabbeinu Rav Moshe Feinstein, Moreinu v'Rabbeinu Rav Yosef Eliyahu Henkin. The machloket between them was earth-shaking. Reb Moshe was matir without a get. If you couldn't get a get, she could remarry, the children are not mamzerim. Civil marriage does not create halachic marriage. Rabbi Meisher took the point of view of Rabbi Yitzchak Rubin. Rabbi Yosef Eliyahu Henkin, and what's worse for Rabbi Rubin, Moreinu v'Rabbeinu, Rabbi Yosef Dov HaLevi Soloveitchik, took exactly the opposite point of view. Ein adam osa bilato bilatznot. You don't have to have kedusha v'tara. A guy doesn't have to go to mikveh 50 times over and put on a kippah with a gatel and then have relations to be married. It's just a human action, and that creates a marriage. And they all cite the Rambam and Hilchot Nishut. Look it up, Perek Aleph, Halach Aleph. And even though the Rambam says with Matan Torah it became a more formal ceremony, but the original concept never changed. All we did was add sanctity to it. But the original concept is a man and woman who go into a cave and want to live together, they are married. And Rabbi Yosef Eliyahu Henkin wrote an entire volume against Rabbi Meisher. And you can pick it up downstairs in the library in Kol Kitvei, Rabbi Yosef Eliyahu Henkin, there's volume 1 and volume 2, and you'll find 100 plus pages of Rabbi Henkin debating and fencing with Rabbi Meisher on this topic. And both remained firm. And the Rav had a long discussion with him in 1978, when I already knew a little bit how to learn. I was in the Amaritz, I was when I got Smicha. Today I'm still an Amaritz, but at least I'm less of an Amaritz. Had a long discussion with the Rav. And Rebbe was adamant that you can't perform a marriage unless she gets the get. The kids, I pushed them against the wall. I said, but Rebbe, the kinderlach, they can't be mamzerim. If they're mamzerim, they won't be able to marry. It's only a love. It's not a chi of mita. He said, you're right. Maybe with the children we can be more mental. You're right. You're right. You're right. Maybe with the kinderlach we can be more mental. It's not a love. Okay. Gentlemen, shevet and shevet, sridayesh. Here I'm quoting from the old edition. My apologies. I prepared this part I prepared long ago, and it's from the old edition. The part I quoted before, I worked on this last week, so it's from the new edition. Chelek Gimel, Siman Mim Aleph. And here's a tshuva, 1954. Rabbi Chiya Yaakov Weinberg has gotten this question, and he's writing to this Rav in the Galil in Eretz. He's writing to this Rav let me put it this way. From what I see here, the Rav is still in Germany, and he's evidently a case in the DP camps, and he says, you're asking me about civil marriage and she can't get a get. And Rabbi Chiya Yaakov Weinberg is writing, I see all the Achronim discuss it, and everyone deals with the problem of Ein Adam Asav Bilato Bilatznut. And the whole question hinges, what does it mean that a man does not treat his sex as an illicit act? Is it because he doesn't want to transgress the law, the Torah, and if it's because he doesn't want to transgress the Torah by living with a woman who he's not married to, then of course in modern times, Rabbi Rubin is correct. Who gives a hoot about Torah? Who gives a hoot about spirituality? Or no, is it because in Yan Mimusi Umishpachti, the Adam Hagun Rotze B'Ishut ובחיי משפחה כדת ולא להיות נמישה זונה שעלולה להפקיר את עצמה גם לאחרים. And oh wow, If this is the case, it means nothing to do with religion, nothing to do with Frumkeit, nothing to do with Chassidut, nothing to do with the Sefer Musa. It's a decent, upright individual doesn't want to just sleep with a woman from the streets. If he's going to sleep with a streetwalker, just like she's sleeping with him, what does he say? She'll sleep with other men. She'll be hefker. He wants a woman. Marriage. Mailbox. Bank account. His name. A Valentine's Day card. Pardon the assimilation. Got it? If that's the case, Rabbi Reuben is totally wrong. And Rav Henkin and the Rav are correct. And he's, Rabbi Chilakov says, it's a tremendous machloket. But he says, halacha lemaisa, kva horazakein, hagon rosh kol b'nei hagolam, manran Reb Chaim Oizami Vilna. We have Reb Chaim Moses Psak. In the first instance, we should do everything to get a get. But b'shat hadchak, yesh lahakel. When we can't get a get, we can be lenient, we can remarry her. And in the case that you're telling me about, which I heard about from Rabbi Blach, who had visited here, and Rabbi Blach also was a Rav in Germany, I believe, at the time. And he says, the case you're telling me about, it is b'shat hadchak. And it becomes more b'shat hadchak because he is a Kohen. And if she'll need a get from the first husband, then she's a Megureshet, and we won't be able to sadeh lechem kedushin. And he says, in this case where it's shat hadchak and you can't get a get, and it's better not to have a get, you can marry them. But then he adds, but a question like this, this is difficult. No rabbi is allowed lahatir on his own. We need three great rabbanim to agree. And after the rabbanim goes through all the details and find out about this first husband, and it took place in Russia, and their survivors, and then they came to Germany and find out the background and find out for sure that there was no chuppah v'kedushin in Russia. V'acharei chakira v'drasha, he says to the rabbi, send the question laharav harashi hagaon, Reb Yitzchak Isaac Halevi Herzog Shlita, ulevakesh haskamato, v'haskamat Zaytun Hagadol. Send the information out to Rav Herzog and ask for his acquiescence at the acquiescence of the Zaytun Hagadol in Yerushalayim. And then Rav Weinberg adds, V'yichlu letzarev michtavize, you can show them my letter. From this letter, shemimere yireh, sha'ani noteh lahakel, that I'm inclined to be lenient. But without the acquiescence of Rav Herzog and his beitin, ein lahater ulesadeh lekudushin im acher. Without their acquiescence, who am I that you can depend upon me, halacha lemaisa? Only when others help carry the chips from the bin. Michael, with me? Are you a wiser man than the man who entered class an hour and 20 minutes ago? Michael, I'm now quoting Achron Achron Chaviv from Washington Avenue. Ephraim is shocked. Ma inyun shmitah eitzel ha-sinai. Follow, Danny? Okay, Netanyahu. Ma inyun shmitah eitzel ha-sinai. From Washington Avenue to Washington Street by Aaron Rakefet, Rough cough. Gentlemen, page 403, the story begins and it takes place right in this classroom, right in the kollel. The story is very simple and yet very profound and difficult. My wife and I were privileged to have a miracle and a mitzvah to our credit that I don't think anyone else in this room has. That's a mitzvah of pigeon shvuyim. And we got a family out of Russia at probably a year or two before they would have gotten out. Otherwise, after so many years of refusal, and the whole story is in Washington with all the documents, because I knew no one would believe me. So by publishing the documents, at least Daniel believed me, Baruch Hashem. But that's a mitzvah, pidyon shvuyim. After the mitzvah, pidyon shvuyim, I get a call from Shamir. How many of you know what Shamir is? Shamir was an organization organized by the first Russians who got out of Russia, the late 60s, early 70s. The Lubavitcher Rebbe wanted to meet with them, and he told them to establish an organization to help the Jews coming out of Russia. Shamir stands for Shomrei Mitzvot Yahadut Russia. And that organization exists until today. It's on Rehov David Yellen, right near Machne Yehuda. As a matter of fact, at Mincha time in Machon Lev, I picked up a Russian sitter published by the OU and Shamir. Why did I pick up a Russian sitter? So I would have a nusach of davening that's Ashkenazit. Okay. Get a call from Shamir. We have a very difficult problem, and these are their exact words. I write about in the book exactly who called me, who he was. I tell you a very fascinating story about him that's worth the price of the book, just reading that one story. And he says, Rav Rakefet, you've done one miracle, we need another miracle. So he made an appointment with me, and I remember I was teaching in Machon Gold, and I used to walk to Machon Gold. I loved to walk, and I would walk through Machne Yehuda. Machon Gold was then in Rehov Turim. And I said, fine, I'll meet you on my way walking. I think we set a meeting for 8:30 Sunday morning. And they tell me the following story. A woman who left Russia, and in Russia she had been married to a guy. Now she was in Israel. Chabad had pulled her in. And she met a man who was a lot older, Jewish, married him, and he died within the year. Now she met a man, also Russian, total Balei Tshuva by now, and they wish to get married. There's only one problem. The guy she was married to the second time died, no children. His brother has to give chalitza. The brother who has to give chalitza, the yavam, is the head of a kolhoz in Russia, a communist. The Iron Curtain is closed. How can we get her in to get chalitza? And this was the question thrown at me. Can you use your contacts that you use to get the Essos family out to get this woman in? I can tell you the name, but I don't want to record it because, you know, it's an embarrassing story to a certain degree. I started using my contacts and etc. And then I'm teaching this class, Responsa Literature, and I'm looking at my Talmud, who's sitting right in front of me, Bini Blau, Rabbi Yosef Blau's eldest son. I taught all three Blau boys, he was the eldest. Binyamin Blau, he's in Cleveland today. And while I'm looking at Binny, a light bulb goes on. And I, you know, the class looked at me and I thought, gentlemen, I just solved a terrible, tremendous, difficult problem. Everyone looked at me like I was nuts. And I'll tell you about it later. Let me continue teaching now. But Binny, looking at you, how did I solve it? I was just giving lectures on Paschal and Halacha So you will know Suffolk, we'll talk about this down the line, a very fascinating topic. Suffolk, they are right to Lukumra, Suffolk, the Rabbanim Lukula, right? It's a Gemara in Avodah Zarah, it's a principle in Shas, it's the Rambam in Hilchot Mamrim, I think it's Perek Bet, etc., etc. You've all heard, a Torah doubt, we are stringent. A Rabbinic doubt, we are lenient. Every Talmud Chacham in the world knows that principle. All right, it works within halakhic parameters, obviously. So, what about a Sfeik Sfeika? You can have a Torah problem, but there's a double doubt. And it could be with a Sfeik Sfeika, even in a Torah situation, we can be lenient. And I came up with the idea, this woman married a man who was quite ill at the time, the second marriage. She didn't know that he was that ill. Would she have married him had she known how ill he was, that his life expectancy was probably at the most a year? Absolutely not. No, if so, what is that called in halakha? Mekach ta'ut. Reb Moshe has famous cases, mental illness. Women didn't know. Okay, so that's one doubt. Maybe we can be mekil on that basis. Then there's a second basis that I alluded to before. It's a whole machloket rishonim if a mumer is considered a Jew. The brother in Russia, head of a kolchoz, a confirmed communist, someone who's a total atheist. Perhaps there's no zika. We can be somech on the rishonim who learned pshat. That ki yagur achim yachdav, the Torah says brothers live together. That's when there is the whole she'ela, or the whole connection of Yidum and Chalitza. But if he's not a brother, if he's a muma, there's no zika. She doesn't need Chalitza. Sveik sveika. Paskin this way, paskin this way. Take it together. We have a double doubt. Gentlemen, read Washington. I went to Rav Avadja Yosef. Rav Avadja knew me, knows me. I taught his daughter. Rav Avadja, I'm sitting here. Rav Avadja's here. His eyes lit up. He understood me within seconds. Said, all right, within a week to 10 days, I'll give you a written tshuva. I described in the book, I think it's 18 legal pages, 19 legal pages. I was right. At the end of the tshuva, he says, but because this is so revolutionary, it is not lahalacha lamaisa until two other great rabbanim poskim will agree with me. And I went to work, I write about it, and we were zeichet to get a tshuva from Rab Shaul Yisraeli and from Rab Shalom Mashash, the Svadik Chief Rabbi of Jerusalem, Rab Yisraeli, the Rosh Yeshiva of Merkaz HaRav, and both of them agreed with Rab Avadja Lahalacha Ulamaisa, the same principle. But when you read about it, I give you the source where it's all published, Bakai, when you read about it, it has a very happy ending. All this took place in 86, 87. By the time it was over, communism was falling. The gates were crashing. We got the woman into communist Russia. She gave her brother-in-law $1,000. He danced the kazatska. He gave her chalitza, the happiest guy alive. They married, and I hope they lived happily ever after. A postscript, I was flabbergasted. I was shocked. I write this in Washington. Everyone thought she was my relative. I told people I met her for fleeting moments when I needed documents from her. How could you be chayshish that a rabbi only helps his relatives? Look what people think of rabbis. Read Washington and see how I comment and what I quote. I once did a big mitzvah in Los Angeles, Beverly Hills, and I later heard people praising me in the Plaza Hotel, the Sheraton Plaza, and saying, and to think that Rav Rakefet did this all without getting paid. Gentlemen, I hope you add credit to the rabbinate that people will not speak this way about Rabbanim in 43 years from now. My dear student. Yes?
I have to say something. You didn't get paid, but you got rewards.
Baruch Hashem, Baruch Hashem. I hope I got rewards. You're absolutely right. That we're alive and kicking, Yitzchak, and we have nachat from the Kinderlach, the Einiklach, myself, I got a long way to go to have nachat. I have a long way to go.
But you did use the concept of
Mechakos. Yes, of course.
But
it has to be used within context. The Sveiki, you can't just come along and say Mechakos and Velteran. Gentlemen, to reiterate, tomorrow is going to make today's shiur look like a pussycat. To reiterate, I did make a statement at the start of class that I may be the biggest idiot alive or the smartest shote alive. We'll know in 43 years. It took 43 years to get here. We'll see what's going to go on. One thing I will tell you, I think I did say in class, if not I said it elsewhere, that those two Haredim who spat at the 8-year-old girl and the one who maledicted the Chayalit, if I'd be Haredi, I would paskin to have a din of Rodef, because they changed the Haredi world. The Israel, the Jewish people, the Torah people, the eternal people, cannot tolerate such behavior. And there are reasons why that behavior came about, and the whole wheel has changed now. It's going to be gradual. There's a lot to talk, what to do, how to do it, but at least I got my 2 cents in about the Iluyim. And boy, I think in 43 years, I'm going to be a very intelligent Shoteh and Katan, and I'll come to that tomorrow because of the question Yitzchak asked last week. Now, what did we do today? The whole concept of asking for help with 3 fascinating examples. The Teimaniyot in Petach Tikva, which is a terrible, terrible story. I don't know how it ended. If anyone could ever find out, let me know. I'm afraid that anyone who knows how it ended is no longer alive. I asked Reb Heschel, he remembered, he quoted one line, he remembered the tshuva, his face lit up, he had also seen Reb Herzog, but we don't know how it ended. 2, civil marriage, which we'll talk about for over a year, but not yet. What a question. And finally, we gave a little bit credit to Washington. I cry when I think that Unorthodox by Feldman, 100,000 copies in print, and Rakefet's magnum opus, maybe 3,000 copies have been sold. Disgraceful. Every Chabotnik in the world should own it. Every Talmud of the Rav should own it. Oh my gosh. Gentlemen, my next book, and I'm not joking, is The Scandal in What Is Today Yeshiva University, The Sex Scandal, 1935. And I have all the documents, but we'll talk about it some other time. Now, the freebies. 1 second, I have so much to give out today. First of all, Pinine Halacha about Purim. This is Rabbi Eliezer Melamed. I believe he's the Rosh Yeshiva in Bethel. Very fascinating. This is for Yitzchak Rubin. Does anyone want, this is a major article on the Ramats in Hebrew, why there was opposition to his Psakim. Is anyone here a law student? A law student. These are 2 articles by a professor of law, a genius, on Reb Chaim Brisker's Derech and how it relates to a legal system and about Christianity viewed within the Jewish legal system. Very, very fascinating. 1 second. This is the article on Deborah Nussbaum Cohn, I'm not exactly happy with it, but it's fascinating what's going on with Satmar. It's beyond words. This is the article on the drafting. This is a beautiful article on mikvah and a positive attitude towards sex. A Mamish, a Torah article from a Kol Rishon. And finally, these are my best gifts, but it's only some. Can you yet play a video? Yitzchak, Oklahoma. Don't say the Rebbe Nevi. You have it, DVD already, so I can't even give it to you. And Gigi, that's the French movie. It's a very good movie. What can I tell you? Until we meet again in health and happiness. Das Vedanya.
Okay.